Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Time now for headlines as we predict what will happen on Sunday as the Packers take on the Vikings at Lambeau Field.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
I'm going to do something crazy.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say kissing cousins. Pack bikes tie.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
He missed it again! And we'll end this crazy game in a tie. Oh my goodness.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Matt LaFleur is scheduled to speak with reporters down once again outside of practice. So I know Jesse will appreciate the audio quality. In about 25-ish minutes, so we're going to do a couple of segments here, and then I will depart and rejoin you. And look, Tucker Kraft talked for 20-ish minutes yesterday. He is one of one. And we certainly gleaned a lot from him. Obviously, we ended up going in a different direction during the first hour of the show today. But I want to get to a number of things he talked about, including his desire to spend his entire career here, the timeline that he has for when he wants to be out there with no restrictions, which is week one. And he even dropped some pretty good, some might say, breadcrumb about how he plans on approaching not having a contract and when he would set foot on the field in relation to having a contract. Sounds to me like the PUP list might be a very useful mechanism as they finish their negotiations. We'll get to all that, but look, I'm not here to judge Jesse. I did do something yesterday that I have never done before because I prefer, I think, using your phone and holding it up as you're interviewing, for me, feels obtrusive. And I want to be able to have conversations with guys that are a little more normal and not it feel awkward, and it feels a little presumptuous to me to do that to players. I know everyone does it now. That's the era we live in. I'm old school. But I did it yesterday. I broke that rule yesterday because the most important thing that needed to be asked was why on earth Tucker Kraft would compare himself to Ivan Drago as we covered that ground. And I will tell you this, much like asking Brooks Bollinger about being drafted by the Dodgers a couple weeks ago and him telling that whole Tommy Lasorda story, or Dan Kelly last week, we asked him a question, he told a great story. When we asked Andy North and he brought up his first tournament and there was like a murder not involving Dan in Cambria at his hotel in L.A. and then he played with Arnold
Palmer. There was a murder that just like happened in that trivia contest, am I right?
Come on. He just couldn't help it.
It was a bludgeoning. It was a bludgeoning.
I would say that Jesse killed his chances with harder questions for whoever got your questions versus who got mine. I thought my questions were easier. Nevertheless, I was just trying to placate old T by asking about the Ivan Drago thing because as I say to Tucker, and Jesse, are you going to use my audio or are you going to use Packers.com?
I went with Packers.com because you can hear Tucker Kraft a little clearer, but between both of them, there was a little bit of a struggle to get...
Plus, you could see me in the background asking
the question. Was the big win here, is we get to see you holding your phone up in action in the locker room.
Yeah, chase the dream, not the fame. So I did ask him... Why on earth someone who seems like he'd be more the Rocky workout guy, you know, chopping down trees and what have you, he referenced Ivan Drago, and we get a great little glimpse into his childhood for our trouble. Here is that exchange with Tucker Kraft.
I feel like with your background, you'd be more of a Rocky workout montage than Drago. Did you add any of the Russian style workouts?
No, I avoided the injections he was getting. That's me in the log cabin doing sit-ups on the railing, chopping some wood. But we didn't have a TV in my house until I was like 8 or 9 years old. So we watched a lot of VHS, and we had the Rocky box set.
We didn't have a TV in our house or until I was 8 or 9. Eight or nine. I mean, he really did live in that place that Rocky goes to train. He didn't have a TV.
And then did you ask him if he had YouTube though? Did you ask him if he had YouTube?
I did not ask him that. What I followed up with, because he said VHS tapes with the Rocky boxed set. I thought about saying, you didn't actually watch Rocky V though, right? That was terrible. Tommy Gunn. But I asked him actually about Josh Wiley because I thought it was important to return to football. But a Rocky IV aficionado, and the guy's what, 26, 27 years old, if that? Didn't expect him to be so familiar with the ending of communism and the Cold War that Rocky delivered by beating Drago.
Yeah, I was surprised when, was it a Instagram reel, or I'm trying to remember where we saw Tucker's post last week, and if someone else kind of instituted that, because he's got the Rocky vibe to him. You know, he's going to go, and, you know, mm-hmm. when I saw him build that sauna completely just out of lumber, and he figured it out, that's not what Drago would have done. And to understand the importance of that movie within our own society, I think, is important. But that's why I think everybody loves Tucker, is because he's about all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his wife. He's got his kid. He's a big fan of the Pickler. But what it really comes down to is he's just a hard-nosed, throwback, great football player. And there was never a doubt that he would attack this rehab, just like I didn't think there'd be a doubt Micah would attack his rehab in the way that they have. And the fact that you got – this is why you're a three-time sports writer and you've been around for 30-some-odd years, is that you know – you ask questions. They can be long-winded, certainly. But you get good answers that give you some insight into at least what these guys will share and open up and let you in. And I think that does give you a little bit of a picture about Tucker Kraft, why he's the way he is, and how he's gotten mm-hmm. here. I thought that was very insightful. And then you get into more of the football stuff, which doesn't surprise me. I kind of thought that you knew he would attack this thing, and he is not going to want to miss any football if he gets cleared to do so. And I think that's what we'll find out here shortly.
Yeah, we will get to the more pertinent parts of our conversation with Tucker from yesterday coming up next. After I tell you again, if you need to get away, you know, those old commercials, need to get away, there's a very easy, very short trip to get away, and that's to Milwaukee and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. They've got the biggest hotel rooms in all of Milwaukee, 500 beautifully designed rooms and luxury suites that are perfect for a weekend reset, a date night, or celebrating something big. And if you're hungry, you're going to have so many choices right there in the building. Whether it's Dream Dance Steakhouse, Canal Street Cafe, Cream City Coffee Company, Ruyi Asian Kitchen, The Marketplace, or my favorite, Rockin' Brews, you can go anywhere and find a food or drink special happening all the time. And if you're planning a wedding, a birthday, or an anniversary, the event spaces are built to make it unforgettable. Elite play, luxury stay, bet on flavor at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. We'll hear more from Tucker Kraft next, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All right, let's hear from Tucker Kraft on more important things than Rocky Balboa. Let's start with him discussing a potential extension. Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com asked him about a potential extension. Here is how that exchange went.
Chuck, you're probably one of the next guys in the obvious line of contract extensions. Is that something you want to get done before you're back on the field, or are you okay waiting into the season? How do you approach that?
I'd say my goal is I want to play for this organization my entire career. I'm spoiled to have been drafted here, and this is all I know. Green and gold is all I know. So we'd like to keep it that way, and my agent and the Packers front office, they're going to be in those talks in time when it comes. You know, you guys will find out eventually. So
now he also later was asked specifically if there have been ongoing contract extensions and if those are occurring right now, which I believe they are, but that's not exactly what he said. Here is how Tucker Kraft responded to that question.
You know, there's certain information I'm not allowed to divulge at this point, so you could do with that comment what you will.
Well, what are you going to do with
Tausch,
it, if you will? What are you going to do with that information, if you will?
I believe that there are ongoing conversations already, and that the goal for him, because I thought the most interesting thing he said, other than the Rocky thing, and we'll get to his plan for the return to the field, but it was that he believed that he was the best tight end in football at the time of his injury. He was TE1. And what does that mean? That means I think he wants to be paid as TE1. Not only does he not want to miss any time, but I think it is pretty clear, at least based on how he addressed it, that he will start camp on the PUP list, which means he can't practice, which also means that they can continue negotiating to make sure that a deal is done before he actually starts practicing. That is my read on the situation. I don't think it's acrimonious at all, but the average that he would be looking for per season, which would put him at number one. First, George Kittle is at $19.1 million per year. He got $35 million guaranteed on his existing deal. Trey McBride of the Cardinals is at $19 million, but he got $43 million guaranteed. So I would think something that surpasses Trey McBride, which will then might most likely be surpassed by the next tight end. But I think Tucker Kraft will be the highest paid tight end in football once he signs that deal, whether it's in late July, early August, whatever it ends up being.
This one to me seems super easy because Tucker wants to be there. It's going to be a big boy contract, but it'll be structured the way the Green Bay Packers want it structured with the injury and everything else. So how much guarantee is going to be in that deal? It'll definitely be a much larger percentage than what Christian Watson got, but I also think Tucker will be the highest paid tight end, and someone will surpass him rather quickly as far as whether it's Bowers or I don't even know what other tight ends are coming down the pipe. Yeah. But Tucker Kraft is somebody, and Goody has been very clear. I think his actions will match his words as far as how that goes, and Tucker Kraft is going to be a Green Bay Packer for a long time, and he'll be the highest paid tight end in the NFL when that deal gets done. And then I would guess in 2 or 3 years he won't be, but he is going to be delivering, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be delivering everything Packer fans are going to want. So this is one of those, you know, usually there's question marks. I think with Keyshawn, there's questions about, you know, all the other things. Obviously, Tucker blowing his knee out last year, not ideal, but I think he's been so good, and he is right, in my opinion as well, that he was, if not the best tight end in the league last year and he got hurt, one of. and he is going to be paid that way. And he will be paid that way before he steps on the Packers training camp field in full pads. I feel fairly confident that those things will all happen.
All right, one last thing I want to play from him before I head down to Matt LaFleur speaking outside of practice is the timeline for his return to game action and what he wants it to look like when he does get cleared for game action. Here is Tucker Kraft on his vision for that.
They don't really want us talking about our injuries and stuff, but that with how I feel, I would say I'm going to get all the conditioning I need in camp to start week one on no pitch count.
Start week one on no pitch count. Open the season September 13th at Minnesota at US Bank Stadium on WISC-TV3 on television. You believe that he'll be no limitations whatsoever? And is that good, bad, indifferent?
That's good. It's not bad, and I'm not indifferent about it. Yeah, all of those things.
You don't have any concern? If they run 70 snaps and he plays 66 of them, you're there's no concern there for you.
None.
Okay, nope. Good.
And he's we'll not going to go back out on the field if he's not cleared. And he's already got his plan. I mean, he told you the plan. He's going to be on PUP. He's going to work his butt off. They'll probably let him start doing some football stuff 2 weeks before the season. He won't play in any preseason games, and they're going to let him rip. Now, if there's some swelling and some things that flare up, obviously you have to adjust and change the play. But if he feels like he does now and he's practicing and he's going along, he's just not going to be one of those guys. He's not a low snap count guy.
No, he's going to
be a high snap count guy.
Yep.
And the team is better when he's out on the field. So let it rip, TK. Let it rip.
We will see how that plays out. Tausch and Jess are going to take over while I hear what Matt LaFleur has to say. I want to remind you that if you're a Wisconsin sports fan, a unique opportunity is coming up on June 16th. That's next Tuesday. ESPN Madison is launching Beyond the Game on Tuesday, June 16th at 6 p.m. at One Social Food Hall in Madison. ESPN Madison is bringing together some of the most successful Division I coaches in Wisconsin for a unique free conversation about coaching, leadership, and the moments that fans don't always get to see. Hear from Badgers women's basketball coach Robin Pinchton, Milwaukee Panthers baseball coach Sean Wagner, and Badgers women's hockey coach Mark Johnson. Stories, insights, and perspectives from inside the profession, and the chance to ask your own questions during a fan Q&A. The event is completely free, so reserve your spot now at beyondthegamemadison.com. That's beyondthegamemadison.com. We'll see you beyond the game. I will see you from Packers practice. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Tausch again for the time being here as Jason heads down to Matt LaFleur's press conference leading up to the third and final practice of Packers mandatory minicamp taking place this week up in Green Bay. Looking forward. I would say this, Tausch. I do think Jason has shared more compelling information from practice this year than he did last year when he said, nothing really important is going on. To this point, I feel like it's been more worth our time to have him on the sidelines.
You do? Tell me why.
Yeah, yesterday.
Tell me why.
We were talking offensive line yesterday. He was recapping what Matt LaFleur had to say about Brandon Cisse and Tucker Kraft and everybody involved yesterday.
Yeah, but those are all from press conferences, brother.
Marshawn Lloyd observations. I thought the Marshawn Lloyd observations at practice were interesting, even though Jason's a worrywart, and every time he touches the ball, I think he's getting hurt.
No, you're giving me something. Okay, I'm on board with that. All right.
Well, let me say this then. I feel like we have gained some valuable information with all the different topics we've discussed this week with Jason in attendance at Packers practice. What would you hope to learn about the 2026 Green Bay Packers this week? And what have you learned, if anything, or what do you still want to learn today?
I think the interesting things that have been brought up, Jaeger Burton getting reps with the ones, I think is very interesting. To do that at this point and right now, that tells me that they're intrigued enough to – I think he's going to have an opportunity to earn a lot of playing time this season. And whether that's going to be as the swing guy in the middle or if he's going to take a spot from somebody, that's interesting to me. Havrasek making all of his kicks, and you know, I know that we haven't even really brought that up yet. But then the other part is, you know, where we're at with Cisse. And the Keyshawn Nixon component to this has been very interesting to me. So as far as what is going to really matter when they break camp, when they break this weekend, and then the young guys come back next week, I mean, in the big picture, it's probably not a big deal. But there are interesting things. Well, Watson signing a new deal is interesting. Off seasons are always interesting with the Green Bay Packers. And it could even get less if once they get Tucker Kraft signed, which, as I said last segment, I believe is going to be done prior to him putting pads on. So if that's going to be mid-August, I think that things get done prior to that. And I think if you read between the lines and see Tucker's smirking yesterday, it certainly feels like that's tracking to be the right, I think that's going to be the right timeline for him and for the Packers to get that done. So for as much as I love drama doing this show, organizationally, I don't want it. Like, I want it to be a smooth sailing operation and not having a ton of this. And for the most part, once you got the coordinators hired and everything else, this has been kind of a ho-hum offseason for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, there have been significant developments going back to the Jonathan Gannon hire, the special teams coordinator hire, and, of course, the recent developments with the contract extension for Christian Watson and what Tucker Kraft, Micah Parsons, and others have had to say. To me, I feel like the Packers are in a spot now similar to what the Milwaukee Bucks were before they won the title, which is it doesn't really matter what happens in the regular season, or it doesn't really, in this case, matter what happens at practices. It's all about what's going to happen in the games. Like, there are very few players that I could point to and be like, well, I care about what that guy's doing in practice for his development leading into what the season's going to look like. In almost every case, it feels like this roster is essentially being run back from what it was last year, and the expectation is that guys are going to improve, and there's not a lot that you can say, like, well, Keyshawn Nixon looked really good at practice today. Great. Does that mean he's actually going to play better in a game as CB1, or is he going to get torched? Jaden Reed looked good in practice. Great. Does that mean he's actually going to be healthy and on the field, or is he not going to be utilized in the offense the way that we had hoped when we get to the games that count? So to me, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about practice-wise, like the observations, while there are certain players like Marshawn Lloyd where it's nice to hear what they look like, what they're doing, and some of the rookies, of course, coming in, for all the other guys, it feels like everyone's established and it doesn't really matter what's going to happen until they kick things off September 13th.
Yeah, that's when you start having a veteran team and older guy. That's kind of how this goes. But there's still always, in the NFL, going to be some storylines and some surprises that will pop up. And that's where, you know, the Jaeger Burtons pop up. And obviously when you draft a kicker in the sixth round, that's going to pop up. Your top picks are always intriguing to kind of get an idea of who is going to be, who is going to have a shot at going into playing. And I always look at it from where's the motivation on the front office's side. The front office is motivated. I think they'd love to see Brandon Cisse take over the number one corner. That is something they're going to give opportunities, or they're going to let him earn opportunities to do that. That's something that's going to be intriguing. How the Lucas Van Ness showing up in a big way in a mini camp practice. Not a huge deal. But it's better than if they said, man, he's not practicing, or, boy, he looks slower, or he looks like he's out of shape. None of those things have come up. So you're more looking for non-negatives than you're looking for superlatives at camps and at practices like this.
Like, here's an example. So yesterday, Brandon Cisse is a rookie. He was asked after practice yesterday about playing against Jordan Love in practice and what he sees from Jordan Love in his first year in the league. Like, is this relevant or not when we listen to this clip?
Super smart, obviously super composed. Even when he does throw something, you know, that may not be hit, like, out of the right throw or anything like that, you know, he's going to come right back at you and respond, and he's making a lot of plays. He's super smart, looks you off, and just super, super composed and consistent.
Like, I don't know what to make of that from a rookie talking about Jordan Love now entering year four as a starting quarterback. Like, is that praise? Is that an observation? Does that say anything about Cisse? Like, that's a storyline I don't really know how to figure out yet.
Well, there isn't a storyline to everything. I think Cisse is just trying to, you know, he's just trying to figure it out as he's going along. And he's not saying anything dumb, which is great. He's going to be complimentary of his quarterback, which is smart. So that's a case there where you're just looking at it like, just don't be an idiot. Hey, pass the test. He's not. You know, you're not going to say, man, I was picking Jordan. Jordan's showing. So, like, that would be idiotic. He's not. So, you know, there's
always things you can glean from players when they're talking and when they kind of tell you where they're at and how they're approaching things. But this thing always comes back to how do you play? How you play and how you prepare. And this gives you a little insight into how you think this will help them. But as far as listening to that clip, do I now say, oh, boy. Yeah, Cisse is going to be the starting corner on week one up in Minnesota. I could lie to you and say, yep, that's what that means, but that's not what it means to me. It means he's not an idiot, and he's somebody that understands he's picking up on the values of what it means to be a Green Bay Packer, and he's going to go out and work hard and see where he lands when training camp ends.
Jason, right now in attendance at Matt LaFleur's pre-practice press conference out by the hedges. Jason will return at the top of the 11 o'clock hour coming up, about 10, 12 minutes from right now, and we'll recap what Matt LaFleur had to say, and then he'll share his final day of observations as the Packers go through minicamp practice number 3 of the week here today up in Green Bay. That's coming up in a little bit, but first we are going to play Wildy and Tausch Trivia. This is our traditional trivia segment presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf, and I think you're right, Tausch.
Who's the person that's always complaining we do too much trivia?
I forgot. It's been a while since I've seen that grievance.
They won't be happy. They won't be
probably
happy
won't be
today,
happy then. Today. And I think you're right. We'll make the change. We'll do double geography the next few weeks while we're doing our Tournament of Champions on Thursdays, celebrating our 10th anniversary presented by Steinhoffel. So, all right, Wildy and Tausch Trivia, classic crazy comebacks. Today's trivia category.
Caller 29 today. We've gotta go caller 29.
In honor of the New York Knicks with the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history last night. Sure, we'll do it for you, Tausch. Caller number 29 right now at 844-770-3776. Caller 29 plays Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf. 844-770-3776. Still to come, Jason live from the sidelines of Packers minicamp practice. That's all straight ahead. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
You can't sit here and tell me that you're comfortable with the idea of the Green Bay Packers playing 8 games without Mike Parsons.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That's very uncomfortable. That's extremely uncomfortable.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Jesse and Tausch holding it down as Jason Wildy attends Matt LaFleur's press conference before minicamp practice number 3 up in Green Bay. Jason will rejoin the show coming up here in just a few minutes, sharing his takeaways from that press conference and then also observations as the Packers get back to minicamp here this morning. For the second consecutive day, a first-time contestant. We welcome in to Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf and by Cousin Subs.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is presented by Vortex Golf, rangefinders you can bet on, and by Cousin Subs. Have a grad to celebrate? Purchase $30 in Cousin Subs gift cards and receive a free 7.5-inch sub. Cousin Subs, they believe in better.
First-time contestant, Brian in Madison. Brian, welcome to Wilde and Tausch Trivia with Jesse and Tausch. How you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
We're wonderful. Brian, did you watch the Knicks make the epic comeback last night, biggest in NBA Finals history against the San Antonio Spurs?
I did not.
Did you watch until the Knicks had built that massive lead and then turn it off, or did you just ignore the NBA Finals entirely?
No, I was watching Bluey.
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 I like that. Bluey.
You can't foghorn Bluey.
I apologize.
Yeah, what are you? Why are you foghorning Bluey?
My apologies to Brian and to Bluey. I didn't. Brian's calling into a sports talk, so I thought maybe he probably wanted to watch the finals and instead was watching Bluey. Is all?
Yeah, I wanted to, but. Priorities.
Bluey made a comeback. Bluey had a pretty good comeback last night, too.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay. Question number one, Brian, in crazy classic comebacks for Wilde and Tausch Trivia today. Question one is this. Which former Wisconsin Badgers running back scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime as the New England Patriots came back from trailing 28-3 to beat the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51 in 2017? Was that former Badgers running back James?
Yeah, beat
him up. Oh, go ahead.
James White. That's my boy right there.
James White, the correct
great
answer.
Great player. Yeah. One of the most, I still think, one of the most underrated great players that the University of Wisconsin
had.
He should have been the MVP of that game.
He for sure should have. Yeah, biggest Super Bowl MVP snub.
Brady gave him the car. I think Brady did give him the car, which was a nice gesture.
James White, because he was never thought of as like the top back at the time when he was at Wisconsin, but he was so good and proved it in the NFL. He always thought of Melvin Gordon first.
Always performed.
Yeah.
Did everything he asked.
Crazy classic comebacks, our trivia category. Brian and Madison, question number two. The Boston Red Sox comeback from down 3-0 against the New York Yankees in the 2004 ALCS all started when which player, now a major league manager, boldly stole second base in the 9th inning of Game 4? Who stole second base for the Red Sox? Was that Walt Weiss, Dave Roberts, or Aaron Boone?
Oh, that's a great question. Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone played for the Yankees.
Dave Roberts.
Yep. Dave Roberts, now the manager of the juggernaut Los Angeles Dodgers, was the outfielder and the runner
for the
Red Sox.
Jesse, you could be the manager of the Dodgers and win a World Series. I firmly believe that.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Very kind words from you, old T. And I could play second base for the Mallards for one inning, and we'd be fine.
No, you couldn't do that, but you could manage the Dodgers.
Okay. Question three, Brian, chance to bounce back. Which Green Bay Packers quarterback threw 4 touchdown passes, helping the Packers tie a franchise record coming back from down 23 points in the second half to beat the Dallas Cowboys 37-36 in a regular season game in 2013? Who was the quarterback for the Packers that day? Was it Scott Tolzien, Matt Flynn, or Seneca Wallace?
I believe that's Matt Flynn.
Two of the greatest games in Packers regular season history. Matt Flynn, the quarterback for both of them. What a guy. He barely ever played for the Packers, and he's in.
What was the other one?
Six touchdown game against the Lions, where he set a franchise record
that
for touchdowns in a single game. But he's got.
That was a great game for Flynn, but that game didn't mean.
He got
jack.
Paid and made an entire career out of that one game.
Yeah, it was a great game for him.
Yeah.
I'm saying the great games in Packer history. Come on, man.
Brian, sounds like you got some Bluey to go watch. So we appreciate you playing. Good luck in the drawing on Friday.
Buckle up.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Brian and Madison, today's trivia contestant, Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf and by Cousin Subs.
How are you going to say that a game that they sit starters for, it was a great game, and Matt Flynn, if it's from strictly Matt Flynn's perspective, I agree with you. But to try and pin that as like some masterful, awesome game in the history of the Packers, I don't know if I can agree with you on that.
I mean, I can say this. In the circles that I run, the friends that I am hanging out with, several of them were either at that game or still tell stories about watching that game and the show that Matt Flynn put on in a complete throwaway game on New Year's Day.
That's a whole different...
It's a franchise record. Six touchdowns in a game.
It's a great game.
It's a record.
By Matt Flynn. The game meant nothing in the grand scheme outside of Matt Flynn getting paid.
15. They ended up 15-1 because they won that game against the Lions that day at Lambeau Field. So
and then we didn't win another game the rest of the season.
True, but 15 wins in a season, most touchdowns thrown in a single game, and then tying
the record
for comeback.
This is an interesting. Hold up, Jess.
Yeah.
This is an interesting question. If we win the Super Bowl that year, does that game get looked at differently?
What do you mean? How is it looked at now?
Because it's looked at as great job by Matt Flynn. Nobody really cares because everybody's going to talk about the loss to the New York Giants. If you go win a Super Bowl, all of a sudden that's a super interesting chapter in that book. Right now it's a super interesting chapter in the history of the Packers quarterback and Matt Flynn's book. But for most of us, I think it's something we do remember. I don't want to totally poo-poo it. I don't want to put it with the Bishop's charity game and the game up in Minneapolis last year.
Much better than that.
But if Clayton Tune played great in Minneapolis last year, are we talking about that?
I mean, if Clayton Tune throws six touchdowns, tying a franchise record on the road against the Minnesota Vikings in a meaningless game, yeah, I think we're going to remember that.
Okay. I might be wrong on this. You might be right. I might be crazy. I might have a blind spot. I love Matt Flynn. He's a good friend.
He's been on
the
show.
Just spent great time down at Talladega. It made him a ton of money. It was a big game for him. How much do Packer fans remember about that? I think probably more than I maybe lead on.
I think that game on its own, you know, is what it is because he got paid by the Seahawks and then Russell Wilson became the starter and he never started a game for them and all that. Like, that's a fun storyline in football history relative to the Green Bay Packers because of that game and that performance. But for him to have the franchise record for touchdowns in a single game and to then 3 years later tie the record for the biggest comeback in Packers history for a guy who barely ever played and was not a regular starter by any means to be in the scope of a franchise that's had three and maybe someday four Hall of Fame quarterbacks, for him to hold those records is an anomaly and fun. You would think, if you're asking a fan of the Rams, who do you think holds these records? They're going to say Favre or Starr or Rodgers or maybe even Jordan Love. They're not going to say Matt Flynn. They're going to say who? So I think it's just a fun nugget in Packers franchise history.
I don't disagree. Listen, you're starting to persuade me a little bit. I am not going to be rigid guy and always, I'm always right. I'm not. I've said that many times. I'm not always right. I'm right a lot, but I'm not always right.
Usually it takes a
this
lot of
Matt
persuading,
Flynn,
but yeah.
This Matt Flynn storyline, I have said this because the Packers Hall of Fame does a great job. They have Earl Dotson and Tremont going in this year. It's awesome. They do a moment that makes the Hall of Fame. They did the Don Majkowski touchdown throw with the Bears game, instant replay, all of that. I would argue that the Matt Flynn's game against Detroit, that needs to be one of the Packer Hall of Fame moments. I am going to rescind my initial skepticism of your take.
Big
because
twist.
The more you're selling me on it, telling me that Tier 1 Tyler and Tier 4 Dave and all your other buddies, I think I'm coming around on this.
It's just like a unique standalone moment in Packers history. I don't think it's looked at better or worse based on what the Packers do to close out that season in the playoffs. Obviously, the way that it went. Like, I don't think it's different if they go on and win the Super. I think it's just
one game, one moment, six touchdowns,
pretty awesome.
I think it's still different if they go win the Super Bowl. I do. I think we as sports fans now, we have taken some joy away from events because it's all about if you win a championship or not. I still believe that's obviously super important, but I think we sometimes minimize that greatness if it doesn't end in a championship.
Jason Wilde rejoins us live from Green Bay as the Packers get back to practice at minicamp. We will hear from Jason, including recapping what Matt LaFleur had to say before practice. That's all straight ahead as the 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.